This episode is sponsored by our friends at Fujifilm North America. Their X-Series digital cameras and lenses may just give you that creative edge you're looking for in your portraits and events. You'll find everything from 40 megapixel image quality to 40 frames per second burst, plus unique in-camera film simulation modes and effortless usability. Click the link in the episode description to find the full range. There has never been a better time to invest in your passion, so make sure to click the link. Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
At the end, I've had several people say, like, I felt like I was in a therapy session for, like, however long you photographed me, but, like, only the good parts were talked about. And I was like, you know what? Whatever happens tonight, you're welcome. You're very, very welcome.
This is the Portrait System Podcast, a show that helps portrait photographers and people hoping to become one navigate the world of photography, business, money, and so much more. We totally keep it real. We share stories about the incredible ups and the very difficult downs when running a photography business. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and the point of this podcast is for you to learn actionable steps that you can take to grow your own business and also to feel inspired and empowered by the stories you hear. Hey there, this week my guest on the Portrait System is Ore Adesina, and she is someone I instantly liked when we met at the Portrait Masters shootout. She has amazing energy, and she's just a great storyteller on top of being an incredible photographer. Ore's main focus is individual boudoir and also couples' intimate and boudoir sessions. She makes it known that she photographs all bodies and all partners, and she tells stories of love in a raw and beautiful way through her portraits. We talk all about how she makes her clients feel comfortable, how she gets them to interact authentically, and while she's serious about making sure everyone feels good about the interactions, she brings a ton of humor to her sessions. Ore is someone I'm so happy to have met and chatted with, and I'm really excited to introduce her to you. Okay, here she is, Ore Adesina. Hi, Ore. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I am so excited to have you. I just want to let our listeners know that we met in person at the Portrait Masters conference, or the shootout, excuse me, at the shootout. And I just instantly was like, ooh, I really, really like her. And then I pulled up your work and I was like, ah, can I interview on the Portrait System? So I'm just so honored to have you here.
Well, I'm honored to be here.
Okay. So before we get started on just like your story and what you, you know, how you got to be where you're at and all that good stuff, will you tell the listeners what you mainly focus on and what you mainly shoot and where you live too?
Okay. So I shoot boudoir. I shoot all types of people and all types of bodies. What does that mean? Generally speaking, I shoot women individually. I shoot men individually, non-binary. And then I shoot couples. So people ask, I can shoot you by yourself. I can shoot you with a partner. Or I can shoot you with two partners if you have that. Literally just a body in front of me and I will photograph you.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And where are you located?
I am in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, okay. Mm-hmm. So something that I really love about your work, it's exactly what you said. There's so much inclusion happening and there's so much like raw like love happening in your portfolio. And I just thought it was so refreshing and so beautiful.
Well, thank you. The way that my mind works is I don't want to create something repetitive in my artistic expression. Like for my day job, everything is repetitive. Everything is streamlined. Everything has a system and a place. And I need it to be that way because I just work very fast paced. And things have to go out and things have to be correct. And to do that, I just have to have everything streamlined very well. With photography, like this is my creative expression. And so if I've done it once, I don't want to do it again exactly that same. It has to be different for me, which is kind of a two-edged sword because, like, I'll create a picture of a couple and I'm like, this is the best picture I've seen. You guys are amazing together. I am in love with you both as just a spiritual being together. There is no way I can ever recreate this again. And I'm crying tears on the inside. But, you know, that's kind of the experience. I want you to see the pictures in my portfolio and say, she can create something special for me that won't be the same as anyone else, but will be along the lines of, you know, what I can do versus putting you in the same situation.
Yeah, oh, I love that. You're such a creator, I can tell. And so creator as in like, you're not just going to create what you see every day on the internet and, you know, recreate someone else's style. Like you truly have your own vision and your own like vision that you bring to life. And it's just, it's really cool. I just absolutely love it.
Well, I will say that I had to get to that place. It did not happen organically. Like when I started learning about boudoir, going to workshops and mentoring, I was, you know, taking workshops from like, you know, top professionals in the industry, and I would use their poses and use their exact setup. And my work looked like a second-rate version of their work. And I get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And like, I just didn't feel like it was the quality. And I'd keep trying. I go, I'm mirroring their poses exactly. Why does it look like that? And it's because you're not them, right? Yeah. Like they're teaching you what they do, but they have been practicing doing what they do for years and you're doing it for months. And so finally it was like, instead of me trying to recreate subpar work of someone else, let me take inspiration from a variety of different areas and use it to create my own work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was years of learning to get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you said. And you know, and I should say there's nothing wrong with taking inspiration from other people. And you know, some people have more of that creative desire within them. And I think, you know, those are the people who might, you know, try to strive for like gold awards and, you know, just have that like deep, passionate desire to create. I'm just not one of those people. I love what I do, but there's like a special person. Like Sue is a creator. I can tell you're a creator. Richard Wood is a creator. Like people who just need that, you know. And am I wrong though? Like, do you feel like that's how you are?
It is, but I don't want to say that I'm recreating. That I'm creating something fresh and new. I do take inspiration from other artists the same way they take inspiration from me. Mm-hmm. But what I don't do is try to replicate exactly what someone else has done, right? So if I see like, I'll see either a video or a photo and I, you know, why am I drawn to this photo? What about this photo is pulling me towards it? Is it the pose? Is it the lighting? Is it the mood? What is it? Then take that little aspect of that photo someone created and say, let me make this my own in a way that either can celebrate and or pay homage to somebody else's work, but does not like mirror or replicate. Because they've created that and it's beautiful just the way it is. And I don't want to recreate a subpar version of what is already amazing. I want to put my own breath into that and make it, you know, something that I feel came from, you know, me.
Yeah, I love that. And not a lot of people, at least that I've noticed, there's not a whole lot of photographers out there who do couples boudoir, couples like intimate sessions. Like it's a pretty bold genre choice. And I'm wondering what, if you know really, what drew you to it? What made you choose this, I guess?
When I first started out in photography, ironically enough, I mean, I guess, here's my origin story. When I first started, I bought a Canon 70D, my very first camera. Why do you ask? I was like, it was the top line of the, before you got to a, you know, the big bad boy camera. But I wanted to take pictures of my niece and my nephews, or just, you know, whoever, however many kids my brother popped out, I was going to take photos of all the cuteness. And I started out taking photos at my local gym because I needed a photographer. I needed practice. And so, like, my first experience taking photos was of CrossFit athletes, right? I would take photos at the gym on the weekends and take photos at competitions. So literally, I'm used to male and female athletes running towards and away from me, knocking me down, yelling at me to get out of the way, but then also like seeing their pain and their tears and their emotion. And I've gotten so many amazing photos of just that emotion that I didn't have to do anything with, right? Like, I didn't have to pose mm-hmm. them. Like, they were going to get, like, this sounds so bad. And I had athletes look at me real dirty. I was like, are you crying right now? Are those tears? Can you cry a little bit harder? I mean, like, Ray, go away. And I'm like, no, but you're crying and you're a pain. Pain faces? Oof. Like, they knew, like, Ray, over there's the pain face. And I would come running and I would get that pain face. But then, like, then they, you would see, for my gym members, like, all their profile pictures were for me, right? Like, I've captured them in a way that showed them. I mean, they were all different body types at my gym, right? It wasn't about, like, having the perfect body. It was having a body that fueled you to get to where you wanted to be. And mm-hmm. so I've done other genres as well. I actually transitioned from shooting CrossFit to shooting lifestyle, and then I got into documentary photography. Are you familiar with that? Where it's shooting like a day in the life and shooting very like stripped down. Like Kirsten Lewis, have you heard of her?
I haven't.
Okay. So she's like the godmother of documentary style photography. And I saw her work a long time ago on Creative Live. And I loved the idea of, once again, just, I thought it was just, ops can be at the tripod and capture things happening. But the one thing that kind of consumes you with this is like you cannot change any element of the situation, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to go to a family and photograph them, I could, hey, here's some ideas of things that you can do. But if you have three kids and you say, hey, can you watch my kids real fast while I go do X, Y, and Z? I'll be back in like 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes is when your child decides they're going to take your makeup and write on the wall. That's what they're going to do. If your child decides they're going to crap in their pants and leave the diaper out and just start swinging from the chandeliers, that's what they're going to do. The only thing that I will do is make sure that your children are physically safe. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, obviously, if your kid takes a knife, starts sticking it into, like, a life pocket, that's where, obviously, you know, if your kids are sick, right. But if your kids are going to do something that, hey, this is how it's going to roll. But also, if your kids turn the lights off, I'm not touching the lights, right? I have to be in that moment. And so you have to, like, be prepared for a lot of situations with that experience and just be ready for anything, because you could miss something big. And I think Kirsten calls it the donkey pull, where she was in a situation where, like, she was in a different place and, like, something was happening in one corner and, like, literally on the other corner, something else was happening and she was missing what was happening, and, like, a girl was pulling a donkey and it looked ridiculous. But she was so focused on something else, she almost missed the donkey pull. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, all these things I experienced with shooting athletes, shooting documentary style. So when I shoot couples, right, I give them poses and direction, but then I want them to kind of do their thing, right? Like, I don't want to control that environment. Mm-hmm. Just let them go. And then also, I have to constantly be in focus and aware, like, and don't miss something. Like, for example, I asked him to do something, and then I say, oh, never mind, stop. I'm gonna get something real fast. Did you miss the moment where he was going to tell her that, you know, she was his whole world? Because you saw the mm-hmm. you saw the clues, but then you stopped to chimp. And like, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. like, I take those past experiences and use them to create what I want couples to have for their relationship. And so when people ask me, like, how do you shoot like I do? And I'm like, shoot CrossFit for 6 years, switch to, like, family lifestyle for 2 years, you know, have Kirst mentor you in a Facebook group for a while, and then just go rogue for boudoir, and then come. I was like, I don't know, like, how do I erratically explain my, so it's kind of harder to explain.
Yeah, it's not like you have such great experience that all pulls it together. It's almost like taking the best of portraiture with, you know, certain poses that are going to be, you know, engaging or whatever, and then combining it with that impulsive sort of, I guess, I don't know if impulsive is the right word, but that documentary lifestyle side. It's really cool.
Yeah. And then I will say, for a while, I thought I wanted to be a wedding photographer. Because, you know, I work a full-time job and usually wedding on the weekends, so it's going to be fine. And then so I reached out to some local photographers and asked, hey, can I like second shoot for you or help you out or assist you? And we'd do that, and I'd go, and I was like, can you go take the rings and do some ring shots? I was like, no.
Detail
shot? Like, no, I don't want to. Like, look at me like, I'm sorry, did you backtalk me? I'm like, I sure did. I do not want to take some stuff and put it in a corner with some flowers, right?
Right,
so then they,
right.
So then they'd be like, all right, so what do you want to do? I was like, can I go to the grooms where the groom and the best men are getting ready? And can we just like go there? Like literally for some reason, wedding photographers, especially female ones, they don't want to go to where the guys are, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just uncomfortable. Like someone would be like, you want to be in a room of 20 guys taking pictures of them? And I'm like, what? Why is that weird? Oh, okay. So you've been a CrossFit coach where you have been in a room of 20 guys ordering them around. So that's not weird for you, but for other people, it is. And so, and they like, they look at me like, what the hell? And then like, they'd realize like, I'm just here to take photos, documentary style. And they'd try to like embarrass me, and I embarrass them back even worse. When they found out I shoot male boudoir, like, oh, what you shoot? I was like, you don't want to start this. I'm going to finish it.
You're like, I will win.
Exactly. we would shoot like the couples like separately, like before the wedding. I'm like, can we just keep shooting the couple? Like, do they have to go to their wedding? Do they really have to go to their wedding? We're in a field right now and it's really pretty. And there's sunset. No worry. I want to go talk to my guests. Well, really? I'm pretty amazing. Stay with me. And so I realized I did not want to shoot weddings. I'm wedding photographers, like, I give them so much props. So
totally.
They are amazing people. Like, I literally, like, every like year, like I raise, like I'm not dating anybody right now, but like I raise my budget like $1,000 every year. Like, if I ever get married, my budget for weddings, like my photographer, I'm going to gaslight them in a good way so hard. Like, you're an amazing person. I love you. You are just a joy to be around. Cause seriously, wedding photographers, I could not do it. And so, like, I'll have friends like, oh, hey, I know it's last minute, but I can't find someone. Can you help me? Like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. I cannot help you. I mean, I can if you, like, desperately have, but you're going to turn a corner, and I'm going to be there, and there'll be fear in my eyes. I want you to know that. I don't want to be here.
It's not easy.
No, I'm doing it for you. But they're like, look at me. Like, how are you doing okay, Ray? How are you doing? I'm not doing okay. I told you I'm not going to be. I don't want to be here. I'm doing this for you. Can I go home now, please? with some wedding cake. I'll take the bride and groom with me, but other than that, we're out of here. So yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. It's like a lot of people run away from uncomfortable things or things that are typically uncomfortable, like photographing half naked couples. Like, that could be very intimidating to some people.
Right.
But for you, you run towards it. Whereas weddings, I mean, weddings are, I did it for a long time and it was very hard. I did not enjoy it. I mean, I did for a little while here and there, but something that you said too, that I think that in weddings happens a lot is people miss those moments because they're photographing what they think they should be photographing and then looking down at their camera or taking a break, whatever, and missing those in-between moments. So I'm really glad you brought that up and even like just for personal branding, sometimes those in-between moments when they're relaxed because they think the camera's about to be done for a moment is when you can get some of those really, really amazing shots.
Yes, exactly.
Now, if you were to look back at your portfolio, if you're scrolling through, how many of those moments that you have posted, because let's, you know, we'll be honest, sometimes we post our favorites, our most favorites, how many of those are those in-between moments versus you posing, directing, telling them, do this, and then you take the photo?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that I can say, because maybe it would help to explain how I shoot couples.
Yes,
and why I can't really get pinned down that. Okay. So shooting guys and shooting just for lifestyle, family, they're afraid. This is a general statement that does not apply to, you know, every person, by the way. I just want to caveat that. But
of course,
you're asking someone who's probably moving around and doing things to sit still in a stiff, uncomfortable outfit for an hour to an hour and a half while you listen to your partner attempt to negotiate with a small terrorist to sit still, right? But you're like, I want you to negotiate with me as well because I don't want to be here either. And so it's like, and I think of those people, not just, it's not just guys who do this, right? It could be, you know, just different partners. And I'm like, if that was me and my partner wanted me to do a couple's boudoir shoot, what would get me to say, you know, yes? Is that because, like, if you're going to ask me to pose with my partner partially or fully nude for an hour and a half, it better be worth it, right? In the sense of, like, I don't want to be miserable for an hour and a half or however long I shoot them. And so I give couples direction versus static posing. Say, hey, I want you to, you know, go against the wall and put your partner, you know, her back against the wall. I want you to give her your cheesiest, most horrible pickup line. And he's like, I don't know. You know you have bad pickup lines. Like you even if you haven't used them, your friends have used them. And so, like, they'll do that. And she's trying not to laugh, right? Because he hasn't even started. And she's laughing because she knows it's going to be good. And so he starts to laugh. And so I shoot in silent mode for couples. I shoot with a Sony A7R3. You can't hear the shutter click. And so couples don't know when I start shooting and they don't know when I stop shooting.
Oh, I love
right?
that.
It's all silent mode. And so, you know, I give them direction, what to do, like, and why, and so they get the laughing shots, right? And then I say, well, okay, no, seriously now, like, you know, like, you're still in this position, it's really good lighting. Why don't you tell your partner three things you like about them? And then, like, he'll say, like, I really like the way that she really is encouraging and that she really just knows how to be, like, there for me when I need her the most. And so she's like, I love this. Like, you know, she's getting, like, gaslit in a good way. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Did I ask what you loved about your partner? No, I did not. What you like about her. That doesn't count. So let's go ahead and dial it back. What do you like about her? It's like, I don't know. It's like, you don't like anything about her? And then he starts, you know, and so we go back and forth. And I'm like, literally, if you say something and it's a love, you are wrong and you're ruining the session. And, like, so they're laughing. Because
it's like a lot of banter. Like,
yeah,
fun.
Like, think about your husband, right? Like, think about all the things you like about him. It's really hard to, because, like, there are some things, like, I like the way he, no, you love that. You love that. And so that makes them think, gets them to interact, like, just ways that they can interact where I can be the photographer, but then, you know, ways to get them just to show emotion. Something like that for that example.
So do you have, like, because I think this is good. I think this helps give our listeners ideas of if they are posing couples, you know, how to get those genuine reactions and genuine emotions. And, like, do you have a repertoire of just different questions that you ask or, you know, interactions? Okay.
So I started with, like, posing cues that you do for an engagement session, right? There's so many questions that people, you know, ask their, you know, couples when they're shooting them. Like, one of them that I used to ask a lot, it was, like, a question that went viral. And it was, like, I think, I can't remember what photographer. It's a photographer or somebody said this. I don't even know who or when or what. Maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago. And it was like, tell your partner, you know, there's the wedding day. Out of everyone on the planet, your partner chose you, right? So it's not like you're, like, It's not like you're perfect, but you're perfect for them. Please tell your partner why you chose them. And so I did this at the very end. I don't do it anymore. I was at the very end. I say, hey, by the way, this is a really personal question, you know? So something like you, like, you know, depending how long you've been together, like, you know, months, years. So tell them, I'm going to take a longer lens and I'm going to go to a point where I can't hear you answer that question. I don't want to know the answer. So it's not my right to know that answer. So I don't want to whisper it to her. And then also I'm going to play music to make sure that I cannot hear it. And then I just sit back and I'm like, cry. I hope they cry. Somebody cry. Yes, I see the crying. This is beautiful. Yeah. You know, and I'm just like, ooh, yeah. So there's like a range of questions from like lighthearted, playful fun to more like middle serious, I guess, and then like super serious. But the goal is to just have them talk and share. And some of my favorite sessions are when one partner's like, I didn't even know that about you. I had no idea that even happened or you thought that, you know. And so, especially like couples who've been together for like, you know, years and just find out more things about their partner. And at the end, I've had several people say, like, I felt like I was in a therapy session for like however long you photographed me, but like, only the good parts were talked about. And I was like, you know what? Whatever happens tonight, you're welcome. You're very, very welcome.
Yeah. That's so cool. Because it's, you know, obviously being photographed can be a very, very vulnerable position to be in, especially if, if the partner who didn't book the session didn't really love the idea of it. Right. And man, I remember some of the couples that I photographed. They were just like, they weren't touching each other. They just were, I don't know if they got into an argument in the car on the way there. Like, oh, so much can happen. And I feel like that is such a great way to bring them back together and remind them like, okay, you do love each other and you are intimate. And I just feel like it puts them at ease. And gosh, at the end of it, they can think back about the most beautiful things that were said to them. Hope, you know, that hopefully their partner was able to say wonderful things about them, which of course, I'm sure 99.9% of the time it does happen. Mm-hmm. But what a cool experience.
Yeah, that's definitely my goal. And one thing that I do that's probably a little bit unique is I need to make sure that both couples are on board with the session. There definitely be varying levels of like just not being sure what's going to happen, like being nervous. Like everyone is nervous, everyone is anxious, but I need both people to be on board. So I'll ask like each couple to make sure that like, do you really want to be here? Do you really want to do this? No one is forcing you. No one cajoled you. You really are trusting me with this process. Because if we're going to spend 2 to 3 hours taking a photo of emotion and your emotion is fear and disgust and or panic, I don't want to be there either. Let's all go and leave this place, right? And it's usually the one partner who wasn't sure that by the end, I'm like, sir, you're getting real aggressive right now. Or ma'am, I'm sorry, but I thought you didn't want to be here. And now you're doing something that's not what I thought you'd be doing right now. So let's dial it back a little bit and remember a little bit of why you didn't want to be here. Because you're acting a fool. Calm it down. And so I do like love that energy of like, I tell my clients too, like, you will have a little bit of like worry. I'm not going to try to remove all worry and doubt. It's impossible. But you can ask me any single question that you want, and I will answer it. I will answer it so thoroughly that you will ask me to stop answering your questions. You will tell me, Array, please, I know that I asked that, but you're giving me a lot of information. I'm like, well, you asked, and you want to know. I want people to feel empowered by their session. I want them to know that anything that happens during your time with me is because you voluntarily wanted to do it. And so I probably err on the side of being overly cautious. But I'd rather that than someone say, you know, I went to Array and I wasn't sure about it. And I felt like she was pushing me and I didn't want to do it. But she said I should. No, that's not what I want. What I want to hear is, Array, we said yes 5 times. Let's just do it now. Okay. Right. If you said yes for the 5th time, we'll do it. all right, yeah, fine.
Yeah. Well, I know someone out there is thinking like, okay, sometimes we have clients who are fully clothed who maybe don't want their photos shared publicly. Mm-hmm. So right. Do you have that conversation about what photos, you know, will they let you use this in your marketing? Because let's face it, we need photos in our portfolio in order to market, but that is not right. Our number one priority when we have clients paying us. Right. So how do you handle that?
Well, you know, these are not everyday, you know, portraits that you're going to put on your mantle. Well, excuse me, generally speaking, some people do. Like, they're very proud of their photos. They put an album in their coffee table. Usually it's like an individual versus a couple's photos. And so because of the intimate nature of these photos, I just tell couples, here's the deal. You're paying me to celebrate you, whatever that means. So if you don't want anyone to see these photos, no one's going to see these photos. And so I have different levels of reveal. So the first one is like, I can share anything that we take on the session that you pay for. That's like level one. Level two is like, I can show photos if it's anonymous, right? Like you can't tell. But I tell people, that's only really if you don't have tattoos. If you have tattoos, even though you can't see your face, we know who you are, right? So just be at your discretion. Or couples are like, well, we want to see them first. And so with those couples, then, you know, we'll do the reveal. And from the photos they choose, I ask, you know, which photos are you comfortable with me sharing on social media? And the ones you're comfortable with me sharing on social media, I will put them in a file saying, you can only share these, right? I don't try to memorize which ones they are, right? So I put in a file, social media approved. And then, so like a couple of months later, when I go, I can go to that file and say, okay, here's the file that I can show. We're good to go.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, so that's how smart. I do, yeah. Releases. I do, they're called, you know, generally speaking in the photography world, they're called model calls. I call them creative calls. And in these creative calls is where I get a model, really a full model release in exchange for a reduced session fee and a discount on products, like a minor, a small one. But I'd rather have that and people know and understand what's going to happen with their photos versus trying to ask someone who came to me because they trusted me to then like try to get them to get their photos posted online.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Right.
Will you, okay, I'd love to go through a little bit of your business process. Like, okay. You know, do you do packages and your pricing and that sort of thing? But before we do that, I know you have a full-time day job. Tell people what your day job is.
So I practice what's called commercial real estate finance law. And so I help banks service their commercial loans. That is what I do during the day.
Right.
So that means, like, for example, let's say there's a property in a mall, right? It's like a mall 10 minutes from my house. It's more than likely going to have a loan for, I'm just randomly guessing, $10 million loan. Well, so that loan was probably securitized, and I will not go in depth on that because that would just make your eyes glaze over. But the property owner is going to have questions just in general about their loan, and so they're going to go to the bank. If it's a legal question, the banks can come to me and say, hey, Array, we have a borrower who has a question legal, you know, illegally, and we want you to represent us, you know, as we go back and forth with that property owner. So that's what I do during the day. It's completely 100% different.
That's what I was going to say.
Than what I do. And it's funny because people are like, Array, why? How does that work? And I tell them, one of the things that helps me is that everything is streamlined. Everything has its place. Everything is like, I won't say, obviously legal issues are not black and white, but my processes are the same. And so that helps me feel confident in what I do, especially with a fast pace. And so, like, I can hyper-focus on that. Like, I literally, there was a couple, 2 weeks ago, I was asked to draft a document. And I was, I'll update this document as I'm drafting it, right? That's how, you know, like, it's just a quick update. 9 hours later.
Oh, man.
I'm halfway through the update, telling myself, Array, no. Why did you decide that this was the time you were going to change the spacing? Why did you decide this was the time you thought that the commas and quotations needed to all be different, but yet the same? I'm like, you know, like a different person. But I definitely have my, what do you call them? Idiosyncrasies in terms of that. And so like, it's, I'm definitely a perfectionist, and it's just, it's a different part of my brain that's being used when I'm doing my day job. Yeah. It just, it, yeah. I get really excited to have clients ask me questions about things like easements. I'm like, I'm going to tell you what this easement, and you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. And by the end, they're just laughing at me like, right, you really care about easements. I'm like, you have to care about easements. What are they going to do? Like, do you really want the county to come onto your property without having a piece of paper that says they have to repair and restore and structure? And they're like, okay, well, I mean, take your word for it. I'm like, yes, you will take my word for it. Easements are important. And then I'm like, did you say out loud, Array, that easements are important? Yes, I did. I'm sorry to my 10-year-old self who thought that I was going to be, I don't know what, about 10 years old. Although it's funny because when I was little, I wanted to know everything. Like, I thought for some reason that a person could know every single thing. And to start my journey of knowing every single thing, who was the smartest person that I knew at 10 years old? My dad. My dad was really, really smart, right? He's a doctor. He's intelligent. He talks to other doctors. He's brilliant. And do you know what he's going to do? He's going to share his wisdom with me. And how I'm going to do that? Dad, why? 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 Everything was why. And at one point, he was like, you're going to make a great attorney one day. And I was like, but you say that very frustrated. I was like, no, I am not frustrated, Ray. I am not. But maybe for a little bit, we can stop asking why. And I was like, why? He was like, ah! So why do you always stop asking why? He's like, just go away. Go away. It's like, okay, well, okay. Okay, bye, bud. I came back. Yeah, so I think that kind of like spurred me on. And then I learned in law school. And now it's not a matter of knowing everything. It's a matter of knowing what you don't know and having the resources available to get your questions answered. That is what I learned, generally speaking, as an attorney.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So then if you... you know, you have your full-time job. So how often are you shooting per month? And then tell us a little bit about your pricing and how you price this, you know, this whole genre.
So I shoot about maybe once or twice a month for clients. And then I try to do a creative project or excuse me, like a creative personal project, at least like once, maybe every couple of months. Those are just for me. Like I usually try to reach out to a professional. Like I've had the opportunity to meet some really amazing people who were just roped into being my friend. Like they don't really know how it happened. Like they'll be like, "Alright, how did
you roped into being your
like
friend?
How did we become friends?" And I'm like, "I don't remember. All I remember is we're friends." But really, I was like, "You had no chance to not be my friend." I think it's cute that you thought you had a chance to not be my friend. You didn't. And so if I meet someone and I think like they're pretty cool people and I see that they might think that I'm kind of a cool person too, something in my mind says automatically, we're friends. I met with this person like 2 minutes ago, but in my head we're friends. And with friends, I really don't have filters. I'll just say random stuff. And they're just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what's happened? So people are like, oh, this is a little weird. Like, you're really coming on strong. I don't really, you know, like, but then you have those people who are like, oh, okay. Well, if you do that, I'm going to do it back to you. I'm like, oh, okay. And so we're talking and they're like, wait a minute. Somehow I've agreed to do a photo shoot and we're going to be in a poll. What is happening? And I'm like, it's too late. Sorry.
Just like, I'm like, you're going to be on my podcast. You know, like right away.
Exactly.
I can relate so much to everything you're saying. Sometimes I'm like, people must just think I'm too much. They have to just think I'm too much. Oh God, right. just rein it in, Nikki, rein it in.
So I have a friend who he used to be a professional ballet dancer in the OKC Ballet. And so I reached out to him. We collaborated. He's now in San Diego. And he's like, I asked him, why would you move? Oh, yeah, you're in, you know, dancing in San Diego professionally, and you're not a cracker. But what about me, right? What about me? And so I have several friends who are professional ballet dancers. And then I have some friends in Vegas that I met. One friend, he used to be on the Magic Bike Show. Now he's doing the RuPaul's Drag Race. And his husband used to do, I think he was in one of the swimmers in, a hotel. I can't remember what it was. Like, it's a Le Rev? Anyway, he's modeling now. So I've had them do stuff for me. And then I made them volunteer their friends as tribute. And that's how I was able to photograph a professional aerial pole dancer. People are like, how do you meet these people? And I'm like, I have no idea. I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I don't know. It just happens.
It just happens.
And so
I love it.
That's completely separate, right? Apart from what I do for boudoir. And that structure is different. But just in terms of just like that creative process of like, I mean, as long as you're safe, right? Although if I had the ability to add pyrotechnics to my boudoir experience, I would do it in a heartbeat. Just don't know how that was going
to
happen.
I'm like, if anyone out there who's listening wants to help,
if you want to give me a movie set budget for my boudoir business, I'm all open. It's here. And so that's kind of how I do that. But for boudoir, my session fee for individuals is $300. That's going to get you time with me. We send a questionnaire. Like, it's kind of pretty in-depth of like what you want, what your experience to be. Do you want to make it unique? Do you have a special thing you want to do? Or do you want me to be the one in control? Kind of just let me take the reins. And then for couples, it's $400. And then my prints and products are separate. I offer digitals. They can buy digitals if they don't want products at all. And my digitals are $250 with a minimum of five. So you have to buy five digitals from me. And then my collections, I offer packages that include my first package is like the Sue Bryce reveal box. You'll get that box, and then 8 matted prints and the core cutting digitals. You'll get those for $1,900. And then I offer my middle collection is, you get 20 images, I believe, and the bigger reveal box. So like the smaller one is 8x10, the bigger one is 11x14. And you'll also get a metal wall art with that as well. And I find that, especially couples like the metal wall art and like seeing their images that they can hang in their bedroom walls. And I really like them to be able to just share and display that. And then my top like of that structure package is $3,900. And with that, you're going to get a 10x10 boudoir album, and then a matted prints. If you want the reveal box, you'll get a 20x30 metal wall art, and then you'll get digitals as well. I then do have
awesome
packages for an all-inclusive experience as well for both individuals and couples. So if you want the whole shebang.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool. All right. So yeah, it's, pretty like simple, straightforward. Mm-hmm. Packages, they get prints, they get the accommodating digitals. That's cool.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I know you said that sometimes people are like, how are you meeting these people? And you're like, it just happens. But like, just for the listeners' sake,
right,
how do you market this? And how do you find your paying clients, I guess, mostly?
Okay. So I primarily market using Instagram. When I first started like trying to find my ideal client, like I wrote in a list of what they did, who they were, just like where they would be. And I talked to like former clients that I'd photographed just as I experienced it. And I realized my clients might not even have a Facebook. They may have just gotten it and deleted it. And or they check it every couple of months to like update to make sure their grandparents are happy. So I was like, if my ideal client is not on Facebook, why am I going to spend my time trying to create a boudoir Facebook group to engage my not ideal client? And so I transitioned over in just marketing to Instagram. And then I also get business through my website. As we mentioned before, like shooting guys and shooting couples is still relatively new. So if you Google couples boudoir, especially in Oklahoma, I get pretty good with SEO just because it's relatively new. I mean, obviously as it picks up, I may get pushed down and have to do a little bit more work in terms of like updating, but it's usually how I get clients is Instagram and my website.
Very cool.
Yeah, I tried TikTok.
You did? You did? But didn't work out?
I tried TikTok, but then I was just like, I got tucked in And then I was like, it's like 4 hours later. I'm like, you did not create a video, but you know all the dances and you know all the jokes and you can make a recipe for a fried chicken wing, butter, pineapple salad cake, no problem.
Oh my God. It's such a time suck on TikTok. Like, I will not allow myself. Every so often I have to look at it for some reason and then I've lost 20 minutes and I'm like, okay, nope. Mm-mm. I just will not allow myself to go there.
Yeah, that's very
some people are amazing at it. Oh my gosh. Some people are like David Suh, who I interviewed. He's like, has millions of followers now and he's just absolutely incredible. But okay, so SEO, you said, is a huge part, which makes sense because if it's not a saturated genre yet, like you're going to pop up. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Awesome. So do you see yourself wanting to do this full time, or is this something that you're cool with just, you know, your attorney job and then doing this on the side?
I don't want to do photography full time just because this is a creative outlet. And once this becomes a full-time job, I'd have to find another creative outlet. And that's not something that I want to do. Like, the goal is not necessarily to make money. The goal is to be compensated for the value of my work and make money to then be able to fuel the passion for creativity, right? Like, my prices are in line with other boudoir photographers within like my same skill set and level. I'm actually ironically priced a little bit lower. I'm on the low end of boudoir photographers in my like same kind of like level of experience. I've actually reduced my pricing from what it was before. Cause I had friends say, Array, like your work is so amazing. You are undercharging. You should raise your prices higher. And I did for a while. But then I was like, my ideal client cannot afford to pay these prices. And so, yes, there are boudoir photographers who can bring in like $7,000, $8,000 for a session. But that takes a lot of time investment to get to that place. And I don't want to do that, right? I don't want to have to do that level of work to provide a collection that's valued at $8,000, meaning the size of my lingerie closet, the studio space, the props, the level of like CRM management. Like, these photographers are doing this as their full-time job and they're photographing probably, you know, between 8 to 12 clients a month. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's going to start to become repetitive. It just has to be. You have to streamline it when it becomes a job like that. And so while they can still be artistic to some degree, they cannot invest the amount of time trying to create a one-of-a-kind experience if you're doing it that many times. And so I celebrate them for that, but my mind would probably shut down pretty fast, quickly, in terms of like enjoyment.
Yeah, and that's good. It's like, you know your limits. You know what you need. Yes. You know what you want to do. And and not everyone has to be a full-time photographer. So it's, you can make it whatever you want. Whatever you want your business to be, you can make it. So I love that.
Yeah, and also like doing this part-time allows me to say no, right? Because I've had some inquiries where I'm like, this is like if I have to pay rent, right? If I have to pay for some stuff, I probably maybe ignore some red flags, but because I don't have to, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
So that's nice feeling.
When you don't need it, it's so much easier to say no.
Exactly. And that's a luxury. I completely understand. Not everyone has that luxury. And so I definitely appreciate it. I also appreciate health insurance, vision insurance, and dental insurance. Those are really important things. And I know there's the marketplace, but I can barely adult myself trying to
adulting. God.
I know. It's really not cool. It's not cool at all, man. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you sharing all of this with me. This is super interesting. And yeah, we've never had anyone who's talked about couples boudoir before on this podcast. So You're the first, all right? So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I do have a couple more questions for you, and I always ask these at the end of each episode.
Okay.
And the first one is, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
Music.
Music, yeah, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I typically will ask my client what musical genre they enjoy listening to. I do have some hard limits of what will not be playing in my studio, but other than that, it's pretty free reign, and I find music relaxes. Music is just kind of facilitates, and then depending on like what we're doing can change the mood. So I really, and sometimes me and my clients take dance breaks when a really good song comes on, and you just need dance breaks. So yeah, awesome. Outside music.
Very cool. Real quick, I know this is, I'm totally getting distracted here, but there is a series of photos on your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple and they're in a pink tutu. And they're like on the roof.
Yes.
Freaking love it. Was that your idea or just one of your put together photo, or was it their idea?
You have opened up a story time.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. So a couple of years ago, I went to call it a boudoir camp. It was a group that's no longer in existence right now. But at that time, I met a fellow photographer, and his name is Rob Woodcox, and he was there, kind of experienced the camp because he was going to teach there the next year. And I had wanted to do a session with a queer couple, and usually it's other photographers there, so it's kind of like they don't know each other very well, and there was not that many opportunities to do that. I said, hey, Rob, I really want to do a session, but it's going to kind of be a stranger session. And that's actually, have you heard of those before, stranger sessions?
I have. Isn't that where just two people all of a sudden are being thrown together as a couple?
Yes.
And you're photographing them as though they're a couple.
Right. And I like to make things very hard, right? I like to like, oh, we're going to hold my beer. And so I said to myself, you know what I haven't seen anywhere is a queer couple's stranger's boudoir session.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, what? And I was like, just roll with it. Roll with it. And so Rob volunteered his tribute, and he actually connected with somebody that, like a friend of a friend, and he messaged this individual, his name is Mark Shea, and said, hey, Mark Shea, I have a friend who's a photographer, and she's interested in doing a stranger session. Would you be interested in taking place? And Mark Shea, later, she's like, what the heck? You want me to do what? What? he said he was going to say no, but then he saw my work and he said he would at least listen, right? So like just, you know, he was intrigued, but like also like not 100% sure. And so, and I was actually with some other photographers. So there's, I want to say like three or four of us that photographed that session, but I was like kind of like the lead since it was my idea. And the one thing that I think that helped us get some amazing photos is, like, first of all, obviously, Rob and Mark Shea met and then talked to me and kind of walked through how it would work. And the one thing that I was very, very clear on was, you two are highly intelligent individuals who know, like, what you're comfortable with. This is a stranger session and it's boudoir. Your body, your choice, body autonomy, if there's any inkling whatsoever that you are uncomfortable and you want this to stop at any point in time, you please tell me. If I see your face is very uncomfortable and you don't want to do this and you haven't spoken up yet, I will yell at you so hard. I will make you cry for not standing up for yourself. And they're like, okay. I'm like, okay, good. As long as you know that if you don't stand up for yourself, it's going to be bad for you. As long as you know that, we're good to go. And so, oh, and then also after that, they went out to lunch together, right? For 2 hours, they just talked and it was like kind of made their own little like rules for themselves. So when they came back, it was a stranger session, but it wasn't like a complete stranger session, if that makes sense. And so we photographed in different ways. And a friend had a tulle skirt. It's like a plus-size tulle skirt. And we were like, can two guys fit into a plus-size tulle skirt? Turns out, yes. Yes, they can.
Are they a couple now?
They are friends now. Okay. They've remained friends, and they visit each other.
I mean, you can tell.
Yes.
Not that I wasn't stalking or anything, looking at, right? You know, because they're both just such beautiful people, you know?
Honestly, like, Mark Shea is an amazing human as well. Just such a, he's a former professional dancer. He's a model. He is also in school for, I can't remember what it was. And so I was just like, how can you pick perfection, Rob? Like, literally, you picked, and obviously, and Mark Shea is beautiful, right? Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. But I told them I've told Rob and Mark Shea since then, I will never do another couples boudoir stranger session. First of all, the liability is just like, can you imagine, like, if anything were to happen with two strange people, right?
Yeah.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. And then also too, I was just like, you know, all right, like, you did that. And that experience and the connection, like, how can I top that? I don't even know. Like, I love their photos so much, like, 2.5 years later. Like, literally, they connected so well together. I didn't create that. I didn't do that. Like, I don't know how it happened. So that's the kind of the story behind that session. And we kind of shot them all day, like, me and some other photographers. And so at the very end of the session, it was like 7 or 8, because we shot for a little bit, took a break, ate, they went out and did some stuff, came back. I'm sorry, did some stuff, grabbed dinner, and then came back. And then I was like, hey, guys, how do you feel about getting in a tub? And they were like, sure. And I told all the other photographers, okay, you've had your fun with these two taking photos, but they're mine starting now. Right. And so the photos of them in that tub, there's a skylight right on top of them. And that's how they're lit. I don't think at that time that there was, it was natural light. So people were like, how does that work? Right. Because the room looks like it is four walls. So there's no light from, you know, the walls themselves, but the entire top part was a skylight. So I had, you know, I tried to shoot down from outside, and it just looked really weird. But, like, I shot them that way. So then they had, like, you know, 8 hours of just talking and, like, just being physically at the hilt with each other. So by the time of the 8 hours and I was shooting that portion, it was really great. I really enjoyed
awesome.
That experience, but it's a one of a kind experience. I won't be doing it again. No.
Yeah. Well, I love those photos. The two yes. ones especially. Yeah.
I know. That was fun.
Cool. All right. Number two is, how do you spend your time when you're not working? Either job.
I really, that's what I do, right? I don't do anything else, really. I used to work out a lot more than I do now. I do not. And funny enough, I didn't even mention this. Before CrossFit, there was something before CrossFit. I was going to be a food photographer and have my own food blog. And so for a little bit, I did food photography. And I went to a workshop in California with a couple called White. I think it was called White on Rice. And I really loved to cook. I immersed, because in the CrossFit world, there's, like, whatever random diet people are already doing, paleo, primal. And so I became known as the paleo food queen. Do you know what paleo is?
I don't. Paleo.
Okay. So generally speaking, the paleo diet is, like, you know, you eat what your ancestors ate. So what you don't eat, like, no gluten, no, some people say milk, no milk, you know, just no grains, that kind of stuff. Well, as it turns out, even eating paleo, you can make stuff, especially using, like, flours made out of nuts or, like, cassava or whatever. And so people are like, hey, we're having a paleo party. Can you make something? So I come in with a cake. Like, why did you make a paleo cake? And I was like, butter's paleo, isn't it? Right?
It sure
chocolate's
is, right?
Paleo, isn't it? So, like, literally, and the thing with the paleo foods is it's much denser fat and it's much more caloric. So it's not healthier. It's just meets the general requirements of paleo. And I was like, you know what? Again, hold my beer. So technically I'm eating paleo, But they called it paleo because you're failing at the paleo diet. What it was called? So it called it. I was like, oh,
okay, that's what I was wondering if that was a play on.
I was like, yeah. I mean, but I was like, but it's a grain-free cookie. I'm like, yeah, already. But it has coconut sugar in it, and it's delicious. I'm like, you know what? Don't ruin this for me. Okay, let me have my fun. So I used to do that, but I'm trying to get to do other stuff. But like, really, right now, if I'm not working, it's usually photography. If it's not that, it's really TikTok because it's bad, but there's so many funny videos. I can't help it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to like say TikTok is not worthy. I'm just saying for my own, like, I just don't have any regulation, self-regulation when it comes to like.
No, really? If you like watch TikTok long enough, there is a voice that comes on and like kind of tells you like, hey, you've been on this for a while. I think you should stop. And for the longest time, it was two guys, right? For anybody. But my initial reaction was like, I don't need you telling me what to do at 2:30 in the morning, sir. If I want to watch another video, I will. And you can't tell me what to do. So, but recently they added a new person. And because, you know, TikTok is like a For You page, so it's geared towards you. So like there's this like Black woman, like with my skin color, with like long dreads in her hair, saying, hey, you know, you've been on here for a while and that's totally great, you know, but maybe just do you think you kind of maybe want to take a little bit of a breath? I was like, you know what? When you put it like that, maybe I will log off. I'm like, okay, fine. I see what you're doing here. And I see that you're manipulating me to do this. And that, like, she's saying the same thing those two other guys said. And it shouldn't matter. Because it's the same thing of get off, but the approach is different. So I will log off, but I know that I'm being mentally manipulated. I don't like it.
Yeah. I was mentally manipulated recently into buying some really great things, though. A new pillow that is like, okay, I got this pillow. This is so off topic. Sorry to listeners, but you're going to hear what I just got. Sutera Pillows, I think it's called, Sutera. It is like changing my life. That, and then I just signed up for these kits, a science kit and a sensory box subscription for my kids, which I'm super stoked about. And then I also just got this, I got an email, this is a little while ago. I get a lot of random like affiliate, will you post this and I'll give you something free. And I'm like, I'm never going to ever post and promote a product that I personally wouldn't love and use to my like quote unquote followers on social media. It has to be authentic and genuine.
Right.
So someone reached out and asked if I would be part of their pasta and bread, fresh pasta and bread subscription service. And I was like, oh, yes, because this is so like, so much. Fresh pasta and bread is like, oh, give me all of it. So anyway, so I just signed up for that. And they're going to send me my first box. And then they'll like have a code if people want to sign up. Anyways, like I'll have my own special code. I have to eat it and try it first. But anyway, so those are the three things within the last week that I have been like suckered into. But they're all great things. So I'm happy about it.
That sounds awesome. That sounds amazing.
I'm happy about the manipulation for those three things. So anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. I really do. I used to have a kitchen appliance addiction. So I do understand buying things that you're like, what's happening? Why is my card being entered into this website to buy this thing? You don't need it. A couple weeks later, it's so pretty and shiny. I can slice and dice and do all these things. Oh, yes.
So much dicing. I love it. I'm such a sucker for things like that. Okay. Anyway, moving on. I feel like I could talk to you all day. Okay. Number three is, what is your favorite inspirational quote?
I don't really have a quote per se. Or if it is a quote, I've internalized the meaning more than the quote itself. But something that helps me, especially when I'm really stressed and or like just feeling overwhelmed with something, is I ask myself, this thing that you're feeling and you're so overwhelmed and worried with, and it's consuming your life in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or 4 days, will you remember what you were even worried about? And usually the answer is no.
Yes, and so to myself, I love this.
Yeah. So you can feel that stress. It's not going to go away, but save your mental energy for things that matter.
Yeah.
And I know I read that somewhere. I don't even, the concept is not my own, right? It's someone else. I just don't know who it is. And so especially when I'm at work and then feeling overwhelmed, or I'm getting ready for something and I'm just like, the world is ending. What's, you know, and then I'm like, you know what, Array? What were you worried about 2 days ago or mm-hmm. 4 weeks mm-hmm. ago? And you try to rack your brain and you can't even remember. That's the horrible part when you like look back. You're like, what was I so stressed about?
Yeah.
So I try to remember that for myself.
This is so important. And I'm so glad you brought this up. It truly, this is something I live by and I remind myself of all the time, exactly what you just said. And the phrase that I say is, this is a blip on the radar. It's a blip on the radar.
Okay.
That right. a year from now or a month from now, like you said, it's just, it doesn't matter. So just, you know, acknowledge it and just move mm-hmm. forward. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. It's a blip on the radar.
Exactly. Exactly. Very
cool. I'm glad you said that.
Well.
Okay. Number four is, what would you tell people who are just starting out in the trying to build their photography business?
I would say this. You're going to want to get better at what you do, photography wise. But you need to know how to run a business, especially if you wanted to do this full time, mm-hmm. because it's not necessarily the most talented people that are successful in photography. It's the ones who know how to market and leverage themselves and get that business. And if you don't believe me, then go just look at the top, like the most favorite and most person in different, like, or I should look at like the list of like the top favorites and compare their work with like Sue Bryce level work, right? They're not necessarily the best, but they have people around them and skills and techniques to help them grow. So you can definitely want to grow as a photographer, but being a better photographer skill-wise is not going to be what makes your business successful. So don't let that push to the back burner of like, what's your cost of doing business? Mm-hmm. How much do you need to bring in to pay yourself? Are you going to need to support? Are you going to need help? When you own your own business, you're paying both employee and employer taxes. So while you hear people saying, I'm running a six-figure business, yes, their business is bringing in six figures. How much is their personal salary? That's what you need to know, because you can bring in $500,000, have expenses of $450. So kind of know what your business is, know what's bringing in, know what you need to do to be successful. That's one thing. And then also another thing that I think is really important is have people around you, especially within this industry, who match your energy and are supportive of you. And if they are not supportive of you or don't match their energy, take their advice for what it is, but don't take it personal.
I love that.
I'll give you a quick example, just experience. So shooting documentary style, I explained to you that, you know, the light changes. You don't control, I mean, it's what happens. So like I am used to shooting photos with like a 2500 ISO, right?
Wow, yeah.
And that photographers are cringing. Like I just hear the mental scream of shooting that high. And so that's going to be great, right? But like if I captured a picture of your two boys laughing and giggling and just crying with laughter and the grain's 2500, are you going to tell me you don't want that photo? And I'm saying it's not like a laughing, like just everyday photo. It's like where you have an image in your head of your kids. And I got that exact image, exactly the way you pictured it in your head. I captured it and said, hey, this photo is exactly what you will think about every time you see your kids or every time you see your kids in this picture. Like 25 years from now, this is the photo you want to see. 30 years from now, this is the photo you want to see. This is the photo you want to have your son at his wedding. You want to give to your grandchild and say, this is what your dad looked like. This is the photo of all photos. And it's shot at 2500 ISO. Are you going to tell me, well, it wasn't like, the ISO is a little too much, so I don't want it. No, you're going to buy that photo, right? So you just have to kind of play around with that ISO And so I'm talking about like shooting and having grain in my photos, and people are chiming in saying, your ISO was too high. Why did you put it that way? Trying to explain to me why I'm shooting at a beginner level and I need to understand that I should not have shot those photos at that high a grain. And so I asked these people, do you know what documentary photography is? And they're like, no. If you don't know why I did what I did, then you can't give me advice about shooting with grain. Mind you, if Kirsten Lewis says, why did you shoot that at 2500 ISO? You should have done X, Y, and Z. I'm all ears because we're at this point, we're friends. She's, you know, she is the queen. She, you know, I'm going to take her advice, whatever she said, right? I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it. But it's because, you know, we're friends. She matches my energy level. I'm going to put my trust and value in what she says. But these people who don't even know what I'm doing, I can't take that advice. And so, because otherwise you're going to have people just telling you things that are wrong. And if you listen to them, there are many times, like my first boudoir photographer mentor ever, she told me, no one in Oklahoma will pay more than $400 for a boudoir session.
Oh, yeah. People get stuff like that all the time. Ugh.
Right. If I listened to her, and I raised it to $600, and my friends and people would tell me, or $600 is way too much for boudoir photos. You're not gonna get anywhere. And I had a real struggle trying to book clients at $600 a session. But it was because I was in that, there's that area between $500 to $900 where you're too expensive for a certain level of clientele, but you're too cheap for the other clientele. And when I pushed past that $1,000 level and got above, I got more clients. But if I had just thought to myself, she said no one would pay $400, now I'm at $600, she has to be right, right? So I would just say, like, take advice, but process it and make sure that you're just not just letting someone who may or may not know what you do control and define your life for you. So that's what I'd say about there's so much more, but I'm like, just those two are like,
no, those are both important, very, very important. So that's
right. Yeah.
Awesome. I do have one last question is, where can people find you online if they're looking for you?
My website is Intimate Lens Studio. That's where I showcase my work, you know, all bodies, all sizes, all types. I, ironically enough, I specialize in a plus size boudoir. And I say ironically enough is I don't get that many plus size clients. And so it's a little bit like sad, like Array, I'd love to see more plus size people. Cause I would too. I really would like to see more plus size clients. But I mean, body image diversity is still a relatively new concept of like getting to be more inclusive. And so I specialize in a lot of different things. Terry Hofford, she's my mentor as well. And I've been to multiple of her workshops for plus size, celebrating plus size and biodiversity. And so that's all a little bit there as well. And then I'm also on Instagram at Intimate Lens Studio. I have a TikTok, but there's no videos posted, but people still follow me. I'm like, I don't know why. Don't follow me.
Even though there's no photo or no videos.
There's no photo. Yeah. And I'm like, what? I'll get a new message. Someone's added you. For what purpose? But yeah, so you can mainly find me on my website and on Instagram.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for spending time with me. I hope we get to hang out in person again at some point. That would be amazing.
Yes. I would love that.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, for now, I will see you online. I'll be stalking your work.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.
Thank you.
It's time for me to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Fujifilm North America. If you haven't experienced portraits and wedding scenes created on the large format GFX system digital camera sensor, you are missing out. Along with up to 102 megapixel resolution, you'll find rich colors and gorgeous in-camera looks. There's also AI-driven subject detection and 8 frames per second bursts inside the compact GFX 100 digital camera. Hit the link in this episode's description to view the products. It's time to dream big in your creative process.